I'd like for you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. If you don't remember kind of what we've been talking about, this is a new creation. How God works, how God gives, I was talking about revival, how God will send revival to a person's soul. How God will send revival to a family, a home. I believe homes need revival. Somebody say amen. Families need revival. People and just individual families. That is the house of God. They need revival every now and then. Churches need revival. This nation needs revival. But if we want our church to be revived, the homes that are represented in this church need that revival. It starts there, and then it works its way out. I need revival every now and then. I do. I need it. I just go in those deals just like everybody else. And I need that time where I'm more focused on the Word of God. And God, I can see God using. I can see God producing fruit and so on. And I need that. And the template for how God does that. Even someone that is lost, that has a need of salvation, this is the template that God uses. This is the framework. This is the order and the fashion that he goes in. This is his creation. This is how he does it. I was thinking this the other day, sitting out on the deer stand. My mind just kind of goes through the Bible. And, Jesus said, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. And he said, that which is last shall be first, and that which is first shall be last. And you just think about it. The Bible starts with the creation. The Bible ends sort of in a new way back where it started. If you go to the book of Revelation, here in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You go to the book of Revelation, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's starting all over again. Isn't that neat? That which is first becomes last. That which is last becomes first all over again. It's just like Saturday night. Amen? It's the end of the week. What's the next day? The new week. Starts all over again. Isn't that neat? I just think that's neat. That's how God does things. Amen? But anyway, so day one, he creates everything, but it's void, without form. It needs something. And God says, let there be light. That is the initial entrance of the Word of God. Four words there. Let there be light. Four words. Four Gospels. That is the introduction to God's way in a person's life, in their mind, in their soul, in their heart. He divides the day from the darkness. God begins to teach them about what's good and what's not good. Day two, there's the firmament that divides the heaven from the earth. God said, as high as the heaven is from the earth, that's how far high my ways are above your ways and my thoughts are above your thoughts. God begins to teach us now as we just consider yourself going in this weekly cycle. God reminds us once again, how high he is and how high we're not. Amen? God will teach it. Because what happens, we get high. We get a little bit too high. And we think, boy, we can do this. Now, God, that's thank you. I don't need your help anymore. I got it. Right? God says, you're crazy. Amen? You're nuts. All right? And so that's day two. And then day three, let the waters be gathered. Now there's a gathering. God starts drawing you to where the other people are that need Jesus. That's the gathering. So that's kind of, we had dealt with that, and we were dealing with what else God did on day three, which is verse 11. That's what I have on the screen. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. So we're dealing with the seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning with the third day. And I don't remember if I touched specifically on this, but concerning the grass of the earth, I'd like for you to take your Bible, turn to Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5, because I'm going to show you how God associates his believers and those that he draws to him and those who put their trust in him. I'm going to show you how God refers to them as the grass of the earth. Just like what he said here in Genesis 3, that God's making the grass of the earth. By the way, there's, I think, a connection, and I'm kind of getting way ahead of myself, don't mean to confuse everybody. But if you remember, in Revelation chapter 9, these locusts come out of the pit. And there's not, those are not ordinary common grass locusts. Because those locusts come out, and God does not allow them to go after one specific thing. That is the grass of the earth. He does not allow them to devour the grass of the earth. They go after those who have not the seal of God. Okay? Now you look in Job chapter 5, verse 17. Watch this now, because this is you in revival. You want revival? Say amen?
Amen.
Then you better get ready to be corrected. Amen? What is Mama, Melissa, what is Mama's version of revival in her children? Whooping! Amen! Children, guess what? I've been on my knees with God. God said He's sending revival to this house. Lay over your bed. That's how my mom told me. Lay across your bed. Give me your belt. And that was the 70s. Right, Jody? Remember the 70s belts that we wore? Big, wide leather belts with them metal rivets in them? Ugh! Yes, they did hurt. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Somebody say amen. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For He maketh sore, and He bindeth up. He woundeth, and His hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. Now you underline that verse in your Bible, you write that down on a slip of paper and just stick that in your hand and just go into battle against all the things that come up against you every single day. God said, I'll not let 7 evils touch thee. By the way, the beast has how many heads? 7. There's a connection, people. God said He won't let that man or that beast have any effect on us. In famine He shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Underline that one. Because what is revival about? Getting rid of sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed, look at that, seed, shall be great, and thine offspring as what? The grass of the earth. And I've been sitting out in pasture ground for the last 3 days, looking at nothing but grass. And grass is a blessing. Amen? Amen. The deer love it. All right. So that's what he said. Day 3 had to do with the seed. The seed is all about revival and resurrection. Except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it cannot produce anything. That's what our Bible teaches us. That seed has to go into the ground. And you just might as well count that if you want revival, you want God to deal with you, you want God to make things better in your life, you might as well count on there's going to be some things that you're going to have to lay in the ground and leave it there. But out of that comes revival, comes new life. Somebody say amen. Amen, that's good. All right, now, up on the screen I got 3 verses out of the book of Isaiah that we're going to kind of launch into where we're going to go now for the next probably 6 months. And okay? Don't laugh. I'm not kidding. Anyway, Isaiah 61, verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. Notice their seed. Their seed. I'm going to have to find out why we're getting that squelching. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. How many of you would like for God to bless the seed? Okay? So we pray that in this church, that what comes out of this book, as it goes forth to the listeners, the people who sit in these pews, we pray that God would bless that seed. Amen? We pray that what comes out of this book and goes into the microphone, into the camera, and goes out into all the world, we pray that God would bless that seed. Amen? And most of these people now, you will never see this side of heaven. See, it's just a little bit different now in our age than it was when I was a young man here in this church, a different way of reaching people. When I quit caring about having 400 or 500 people sitting here and just started caring about planting seed wherever God would take it, that's when God started blessing that seed. And He has. So now we have the radio station in Samburu. We have the radio station in Turkana. And this is going out to those people that we will never see sitting in this building. And we don't care. What we care about is that it goes forth and that God blesses it. Amen? That's what we care about. Isaiah 65:23. They shall not labor in vain. Somebody say amen. Nor bring forth for trouble. Somebody say amen. That means when you plant tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. When you plant piglets, you'll get bacon. Bacon goes with tomatoes. Amen? And you folks anywhere in the world who's never had American bacon with fresh garden tomatoes, two slices of toast, mayonnaise, lettuce, you'll pass out if you eat it. I promise you. It's the best thing in the world to eat. Amen? They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And then in verse 22 of Isaiah 66, for as the new heavens and the new earth, what did I just tell you? It's about creation. It's about how that which is what it was is that which shall be, which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. And I got to thinking about that, and you know, I've pondered this idea of, you know, God said, I will set my name upon you. I'll set my name upon you and you'll have my name upon you. And I've always just kind of thought about what that means. But then when I read this verse, so shall your seed and your name remain. I knew my dad's dad, Jesse Peepaw Hoggard. That's, we called him Peepaw. I loved him. Good man. Okay. And he raised my dad, but he handed him down the name Hoggard. So God has blessed me, and I've had a son. Now, my son has had a son and a half. Fixing to get another son to carry the seed and the name. Think about it. So now you and I have been born again. Who's our father? Jehovah God. And He sets His name upon us so that we are called by His name. And the name has everything to do with the seed, and it has everything to do with the inheritance. If you have the name, you have the inheritance. If you have the DNA, the seed, you get the inheritance. Somebody say amen. It's good. I like it. Amen. Now, let's dig deep. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Get your shovels out. We're going to dig. Matthew 13. We're going to read and study. We're going to understand. We're going to get knowledge and wisdom. How many of you want knowledge and wisdom? Say amen. Okay. Fools don't want it. Fools don't care about the Bible. And I tell you, we got foolish churches everywhere. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about the Word of God. They want their own way. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore, and He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Remember now, keep this in the context of the creation. God designed what He planted on the earth, what He planted on day three on the earth, God designed it to perpetuate. God designed it to automatically keep going and not stop. Now I want you to think about that. Did God create apples on day three of the creation? Did He? Yes. There's still apples on the earth, aren't they? It worked. It worked. Did God create wheat on day three? Is there still wheat? It worked. Okay? He designed it to perpetuate and to keep on going. And I promise you, still left on this earth, Monsanto hasn't got their hands on all of it yet, but still left on this earth are the original DNA of the seeds that God sowed on day three of creation. And if God can preserve that, are we so stupid as to believe that, oh no, the Bible's got mistakes in it now. God did not preserve. It's the same seed.
Amen.
Same seed, amen. Wait, hadn't been changed. Several people sent me a story, and I saw it too. I've been talking to you about how easy it is now for them to rewrite DNA. It's very easy. China has now re-encoded human DNA and injected it into a patient. And it's not just going to rewrite one cell in his body. They use what's called a gene drive, which means that once implanted into the patient, the new genetic code takes over his entire body. You know, most cells in your body carry a copy of your DNA. That's why they can swab your mouth, get it out of your eyes, or your blood, or whatever. Most cells in your body carry the code, and what they have the ability to do is inject into a patient a method that once it takes over, it's permanent. Every cell now in this patient's body has been rewritten by man. That's an abomination. God said, that's my book. I wrote it. You're not supposed to add to or take away from what I wrote. And they're doing it. And what I saw today makes sense. Remember how America and Russia got into the space race? Remember that in the 60s? Okay? That kind of fizzled out. The new frontier is genetic experimentation. And I promise you, America and China are going to get in a genetics war. And we are now officially in the age of abomination. The age of abomination. You think that this Bible's going to come true in our lifetime? It is now. It is right now. Boy, it's a good time to learn about the seed, amen? So, in fact, let me do this. Hold your place in Matthew 13. I told you it's going to take 8 months. Turn to 1 Peter. Okay, 1 Peter, in fact, yeah, there it is up on the screen, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed. What the Chinese scientists did was they corrupted Adam's seed. God made a promise to the seed of the woman, Eve. God made a promise that her seed would bruise the head of the serpent's seed. In my thinking, the moment they altered that man's entire genetic system in his whole body, from what I could see, he ceased being the seed, the woman. He stopped being a house made without hands. Now, this person is a house that has been made with the hands of man. And God said, I will not dwell in that house. It's interesting that it's China that did it. And I've always asked this question, why did not God let Paul go east. Paul wanted to go into Asia. God said, no, turn west. And he did. Okay? Maybe we'll understand it more as time goes on. Okay? But anyway, you just ponder all this. What's happened to this man in China is that he has had, listen to me now, he's had a new birth. He's been born again. He no longer possesses the genetic coding that was given to him by his father and his mother. He no longer possesses that. At the moment of conception, he received 23 chromosomes from his father, 23 from his mother. That was his genetic makeup. That's how God made him. Everybody clear with that? He now has been born again of corruptible seed. Makes sense, doesn't it? So if I went crazy one day and I said, you know, I like the way the NIV says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Shoot me, throw me out. Amen. Okay? Stuff me in a sausage. I'm done. That is corruptible seed. It's corrupt. Okay? It's not the same. When you've got a son of the gods in the fiery furnace and not the son of God, that's corrupt. Amen? We will not be altered and made of corruptible seed. We won't. I've told you this, I'd rather die with what God gave me than to live with what man made me. Okay? So, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And keep this in mind, that the genetics of Adam still live to this day. The seeds that God planted in the earth on day three still abide on the earth to this very day. The first camel that God made on day six, the camels that came out of that camel are still camels. Amen? The elephants, the rhinoceroses, the hippopotamuses, and all of those things, they are still the same way that God made them 6,000 years ago. Still the same seed. Amen. Look at this. Verse 24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Somebody say amen. So, we go back to Matthew 13. Okay? If you were smart enough to put a place mark there, I wasn't. We go back to Matthew 13. In verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So, think about it. Does it matter what kind of seed goes into the ground? Does it matter? Yes. Lost people even know this. Lost people want to know whether or not they're eating genetically modified food products. They want to know this. This is a big market now because people are reacting against genetic modification of the food that they get from these big corporations. And so you go here to Walmart, you go over here to Schnucks or Aldi's or whatever, there's a section or different products that will say non-GMO. And they know that people are looking for that on a label and they're going to buy it. They're going to make money off this thing. Okay? It makes a difference. I've got it in my mind that it makes a difference whether or not it's been modified or not. Okay? Because I think man thinks he's God now. Okay? So it makes a difference what is sowed into that person. I can't hold it. I got to say this. It's been bothering me the last couple days. My heart is heavy. I'll probably talk about it tomorrow on PMO. By the way, I want to tell everybody, thank you for praying for me. I'm not tired anymore like I was last week. Amen. I ain't kidding you. I don't know if it's a medicine or what, but I feel great. Anyway, I'm pumped. This is my third sermon today. Okay? Amen. Tomorrow, 2 hours. Here we go. There's a church in this county a Baptist church. The music director, they brought in from another Baptist church. He brought a bunch of people with him. And while he's there directing the music, him and his wife get a divorce. Then they find out why the divorce happened. He's got him a boyfriend. He's still the music director. They're keeping him. So he comes with his boyfriend. His ex-wife comes with her boyfriend. Judgment must begin the house of God. And I want to tell you something. You've heard me teaching from Deuteronomy 32 what Moses said about the vine of Sodom. There's the true vine of Jesus Christ and the seeds that it produces. John, are you with me on that? John's our vineyard guy. The true vine, Jesus Christ, and the DNA, the words. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, the DNA, the seed. Okay? You shall ask what you will and your Father will give it to you because He wants to see you bring forth much fruit. Then there's the vine of Sodom. And I've had it in my mind that all these false Bibles are the vine of Sodom. They're corrupt. They're the poison of dragons. So how can you tell? You tell by the fruit. And you've got a vine of Sodom in a church that has produced open sodomy. And everybody's fine with it. And there's people that used to go to this church that go to that church now. And that's heavy on my heart. Heavy. It matters what seed. Okay? Now you take that and you apply that. This means that you should not watch CNN to get your news. Amen. Listen, I'm going to go off tomorrow. I had it in my mind. Paige kept asking me, do you think Hillary's going to win? Down deep in my mind, I thought that they were propping her up real heavy. And they were. They were propping her up. The pollsters were propping her up. CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC. They were all propping her up. And I've watched YouTube videos. They showed clips of all these prognosticators. Oh, Hillary's going to win by a landslide. It's going to be a Hillary landslide. It's going to be a Hillary sweep all across the country. No way Trump's going to win this thing. Shoot. Okay, listen. The seed that went into those people's minds is why they were out there crying in the street. I thought we were going to win. And this is why they want to change now this Constitution to get rid of the electoral system. Because it didn't go their way, bunch of thieves and crooks. Listen, it matters the seed that goes into the minds of people. And CNN knows this, and ABC knows this, and all these other people know this stuff. They know that if they say it enough and pound it in enough, people start believing it. This is why our colleges are no good anymore, including our Bible colleges. It's a corrupt, media-oriented world. They asked Donald Trump, you're going to get rid of your Twitter account? And he said, no, because every time you guys tell a lie about me, I'm going to tweet something, I'm going to tell the truth. And I went, get him! I still don't like some of the things he stands on, but I like a guy that's not going to back up. Okay? And I'm just telling you, it matters what goes into your mind. If you're listening to stuff on the radio, cut it out. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You know what it is. You know what you ought not be listening to. Okay? If you're watching stuff on that stupid television, cut it out. You know what you should be watching and shouldn't be watching. If you're reading books you shouldn't be reading, don't read them anymore. Okay? If you're going to go to the Christian bookstore and get all these good Christian books. That stuff is so corrupt. It's written by a bunch of wolves and thieves that are out after your soul to make merchandise of you. Boy, you got me fired up now. I'm not tired now. It matters what seed goes into our minds as adults, and it matters what seed goes into our children's minds. Okay? Man called me today, said, Pastor, I need you to pray for him. And I told him I'd pray for him. He said he got a situation where his boy, he's had to put him in public school, and he said he's hearing awful stuff from boys at school. I can't even talk about it. And I said, let me tell you what Deuteronomy said. Deuteronomy 6 says that you're to take the words, he said, and these words which I give unto thee this day, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Our children are going to pick up on things in this world. It is a byproduct of the times we live in. There is no escaping it. Okay? If your kid ends up with the mumps, I'll help you take care of them. You know why? I've already had them. My body learned how to fight mumps. You can't get me with mumps anymore. Amen? Teach your children how to fight off what you know they're going to get hit with. And by the way, you didn't chasten your child for catching the mumps the first time, did you? Do we not know that our children are going to fail? But see, that's how they learn. They learn how to fight that way. They learn how to stand up that way. They're going to be hit with the wrong seed. Let's teach them how to fight it off. Amen? Boy, it's good. I'm glad to be here tonight. Amen? I would love for someone to be teaching this to me so I can sit down and listen to it. Anyway, let me go through this and then I'll cut you loose. About 9:30 tonight. Okay? Anyway, he said, when he sowed, verse 4, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Okay? How many Jack Chick just died? He was 90-something years old, went home to be with the Lord. Bless his heart. Okay? How many Chick tracks do you think he's produced in his lifetime? Probably in the millions. I know it's in the millions. Chick Publications, believe it or not, supersedes Marvel and DC. He is the largest comic book distributor in the world. Isn't that cool? Okay. All King James Bible verses. Okay. How many of those things you think got thrown in the trash? A majority of them. Because people go around in their lives with so many devils, so many birds flying around, crows and turkey vultures and flesh corrupt eating, meat eating animals, okay? Owls, spirits and stuff like that. They go around that stuff so heavy in their life, you hand them a gospel tract, it's gone. An old devil just goes, and it's gone just like that. That's Tim Barron's out in Las Vegas. By the way, I got to call him. He wanted me to call him. He just come back from Ecuador. And he sent me a picture of a Catholic nun holding a chick tract called Mary's Children. And it's about how you shouldn't worship Mary. Tim Barron's can do that. I can't do it. He can do it. Amen. Okay? Bless his heart. But most of those things get thrown away. Probably that Catholic nun read that. Gone. But there's always that one. John, he put one grape seed in the ground and a vine comes up. In 10 years, how many seeds has that one seed produced, do you think? Just rough estimate. 10 years. Thousands? God's pretty slick, isn't he? God knows how to do this thing better than we do. Okay, and by the way, it perpetuates itself. The Bible's alive. You don't have to force the Bible. You just have to sow the seed. God will bring the increase. Amen. I got to finish this. I got to read this. Some fell, verse 5, upon stony places where they had not much earth. Y'all know where that is, right? Right over your septic tank. Ain't but about 3 inches of dirt there. Okay, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Not every church is going to have the same number in it. Not every person is going to be blessed in the exact same way. But God gives it out in measure. Because God knows who can handle what. Amen? God knows that. God knows that better than we do. So I've learned to trust Him on this. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to analyze this according to what God said. And we're going to look at each one of these. And we're going to see, and I've preached this many times, but I like it. Group number one are all these people up here at the Smokehouse and at the American Legion Hall and everywhere else on Sunday, down at the lake on Sunday, and in Las Vegas and in San Francisco, and you hand them gospel tracts and try to give them tapes and CDs and DVDs and try to send them links to sermons. They're not going to listen to it. Or if they hear 2 minutes of it, they'll turn it off and that's the end of it. And they'll be mad at you for the rest of their life for trying to force God down their throat. And they walk off and burn in hell. Group number two were church pew sitters who died and went to hell. Group number three are church pew sitters who died and went to hell. Group number four is different. The fourth is always different, Ryan. John's different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Rachel's different than Leah, Bill, and Zillah, and the Son of God's different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Group number four is different. Group number four go to heaven. Amen. Now we have to examine why and what happened. Why are so many church... Two out of three church members split hell wide open. That's what this parable is. Why? Why? And that the answers are right here. You study this thing out and you pray over this thing. God will show you something, okay? Let's stand to our feet.